Rediscover your passion and begin building a strong, vibrant, and happier life to get you from where you are to the life you were born to live. From Wall Street to Main Street, we bring it all right here inside of Energy Bar. Welcome to Energy Bar. I have met recently, introduced to, I think, one of the most amazing people here online. And you know, most of my business and networking is done online. And every now and then you run across a gem. You really do. And today's guest is a contemporary novelist, podcaster on the Lesbian Talk Show, avid blogger, and director of membership for the Golden Crown Literacy Society. When she's not writing, conducting hands-on research, exercising, or blending a green smoothie concoction, she's likely snuggling with her beloved white boxer, Bumblebee. I want you to welcome my guest today, or Susie Carr, to the Energy Bar. Welcome, Susie. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Faye. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm doing great today. It's a beautiful day here in Maryland, which is really nice because it's been rainy. And so it's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm really happy to be here with you.
You have so many things going on in your life. Absolutely. And so I'm glad you were able to plan some time to sit here and have a conversation with me about your work and the things that you are involved in, both on and offline. And I know that you have a podcast, the Curvy Life Podcast, where the guests share their stories and that are facing life curves and triumphing from them. When I first saw the name of your website, I thought, okay, she's going to tell us how to get in shape, how to get our curves back. But that's really not, that's maybe part of what you do in your own personal life and part of what you do to help people along the way. But it's a self-help series of shows that look honestly at challenges and how we can best overcome them. So tell us, Susie, a little bit about your life and who you are, and then we're going to talk about what you do.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, So I am a novelist, as you had said, and I am actually just getting ready to publish my 12th fictional novel on February 21st. So I'm really excited about that and always nervous. You know, the release day is always a nervous day because you hope it goes well. I'm doing a lot of promos leading up to it, some live Facebook videos, which is completely out of my comfort zone. But I'm doing it anyway because I'm all about getting out of comfort. And so that is really my motto, is getting out of comfort, because I think that is when we can really do our best and put our best forward, is when we don't limit ourselves by the fears that we feel inside of our hearts. It's all about embracing those fears and also just learning how to embrace all the curveballs that life throws at us, because when it does, you know, it throws curveballs left and right. And the more flexible we can be when they arrive in our life, I think the better off we are. And so my books, the novels that I've written so far, a lot of them, most of them, deal with some kind of a self-help aspect. Mm-hmm. There's a romance quality to all of my books as well. But I would say about half of my books, the latest ones, do have that self-help, personal empowerment element to it, where a character is just thrown into some challenging times and she learns to triumph in the end by growing and expanding her mind and her and the way she views the world. And I like to look at life that way too. I like to challenge myself and all those people, everybody who I am friends with, my family, to do the same thing, because I think that's when we live our best life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had a number of people on the show, and one of them is Maxwell Ivey. He's a mutual friend, yes. A new friend to me, and you've also been with him on his show, and we were talking about you know, being naked, being transparent. And many people find that difficult to do, Susie, in this marketplace, because online, and I talk about this a lot, but online, people have a tendency to hide and not be their true selves, not really be themselves. I mean, you know, you can get you an avatar, you can do whatever, you can get an online name, an online image. And so when it comes time to being authentic and truly being your own self, people tend to be afraid of that, because it is a self, it is a discovery, like, whoa, the self that you thought you were is the fake self. And then you discover this whole other person that you've never introduced to the world, because it's never been introduced to you. So you go, whoa, this is really me. You know?
Wow. Yes, that is so true, Dr. Faye. I'm all about authenticity. But I have to say, I wasn't always. And the reason why is because I lived in fear. Mm-hmm. And Maxwell and I have a mutual friend, Alex Arogi, and she is actually one of the founders. She's a co-author with me, along with 21 women, for this anthology, I Bared My Chest, which is all about living your authentic life and showing your vulnerabilities so that you can get on living. Mm-hmm. And she actually is the one who really taught me how to do that when she had me on her show back in, I think it was like, gosh, I want to say 2016. I had been living a life of, I feel like two different lives, really, because I have my life as a professional here at a university and with my family and very personal side of my life. And then I had this public side, my author side, if you will. And I lived sort of hidden because I would only reveal certain parts of my real self yeah. to the public, because I had experienced some extreme pain once with the public when I came out as bisexual. Mm-hmm. And because I write lesbian romance books, mm-hmm. some of the community at the time, yeah. it's changed a lot since this happened, but back in 2012 when I decided, you know what, I'm going to be authentic and I'm going to say I am not a lesbian, I'm bisexual, mm-hmm. married to a man. And a lot of people had a hard time with that. And I got a lot of hate mail.
Oh, wow.
It really destroyed my spirit for a while. And so mm-hmm. I just went into complete hiding of who I really am, which is mm-hmm. terrible, because I love who I am. My parents have nurtured me and brought me up into this world to be a certain person or certain values. And I'm proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I have a beautiful marriage, and that should be celebrated. And the fact that people had a problem with that is their problem, not my problem. Mm-hmm. And Alex, when she had me on her show, The Naked Truth, I was scared to death. And she said, the only way you're going to grow as a person and as a professional is to be authentic and shed that, go get naked. And I said, my God, if anyone's going to help me do this, it's going to be Alex. And she did. I went on that show, told my story again, and the reaction this time from my readers was absolutely beautiful. Times have changed, and thank God there's an inclusive environment now mm-hmm. That is very accepting and welcoming. And everybody was like, great, wonderful. You've been married for 24 years this year for me. And I think that's something to celebrate, not something to throw in somebody's faces. So, you know, anyway.
Susie, I'm so glad that you are being transparent. I really am. And I appreciate that so much in you. And I wondered if, for the sake of our listeners, because so many people are hurting because they cannot or feel as though they cannot be authentic, they cannot be transparent. And one of the things that I have, oh my goodness, I don't even know the word anymore, because there's this feeling of how dare you hate on anybody? How dare you say that you're a Christian and you're hating people mm-hmm. and you're saying that God is a God of love, but yet you're qualifying this love as to which direction it can travel, because love doesn't have any boundaries. Mm-hmm. And yet we see this all of the time in our society, Susie.
Yes.
Help us see through your eyes. Help others who are listening. Young people that are hurting, younger than we are. We're young. but those that are younger than we are, children who were being bullied or being just going through all of this pain, and some to the point of suicide. We got a problem. We've got a real problem. Yeah, we've made strides, but why would a law need to be passed to say you have to like people or love people, rather? You know, you can't legislate love and common sense.
No, you can't. Dr. Fay, you brought up some really great points and real tough subjects, because it's very complicated, isn't it? I mean, we do live in a society that fortunately is becoming more inclusive, more open. And so that I'm very grateful for, but we still have so much further to go. What I would say, now I've been bullied. I was bullied when I was a child to the point where I actually lost my voice for 2 years, literally lost my voice. I stopped talking to anybody who's not my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. This person would hit me repeatedly every time I spoke out in school. And so I understand what bullying feels like. And it is the most terrifying thing in the world. You feel a shame that it's not even something that you brought on yourself. It's something that somebody else brought on to you. Mm. And to me, that is my message, is a lot of the pain that we feel in this world is not our fault. It is not brought on by who we are. It is not brought on by that. It is brought on by the actions and reactions of other people. Now, here's the thing that I try to remind people, is that we cannot control how other people treat us. We can't control how other people feel about us. But you know what we can control? We can control how we feel about ourselves and how we treat ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it all starts, is I tell younger generations, imagine that you, all right, so how would you talk to yourself? You wouldn't put yourself down. So don't let anybody else put you down in your mind. They may put you down with words and actions, but that can be something that you can block out as best you can. I know it's hard, because I've been there. I know it's so hard. Mm-hmm. We're sensitive people. We're feeling people. We want to connect. But the best gift you can give yourself is to know that you are putting your best foot forward. And when you are doing that, you have nothing to feel shameful for. And I believe that shame is really where fear and insecurities begin. And if we can diminish that, then we can open ourselves up to a brighter future. So we cannot change how the world views us or how they treat us, but we can change how we view the world and how we treat the world and how we treat ourselves.
That is excellent, excellent advice. Because when we look at life through the lenses of how we've been treated, we all give up, cave in, and quit. Mm-hmm. Because some people, I want those who are listening to understand that there are some people who, let's see, the best word I know right now in this moment, Susie, that there are some people who are unenlightened and they are stupid and they don't. Is that a naked word?
That is a naked word. You're speaking your truth.
There are some people who are just stupid. They don't know how to love. And you know, hate breeds its own children.
Oh, yes.
And because as an African American, and I say this, I understand what it is to be prejudiced against, your people look at you and they judge you based on your skin color. And people say, well, you know, we've come a long ways. In just a couple of months, we'll be celebrating, I don't know if we celebrated death, but it will be 50 years since Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And mm-hmm. that's cause for attention and pause to think about how far have we come. And part of his teaching was that nobody will be judged on the outside, but for the content of their character. Mm-hmm. That wasn't just a racial statement. That was about people and humanity and having character and not color in the forefront, or not judging people because of their belief systems. So those of you who are listening, you guys have got to get this, and you've got to get it as Susie is here today to be a great teacher for us here and a great coach for us. So you're going to have to coach us, Susie, on how to behave, because teach us how to act. And because somebody has to teach us and how to be nice and to use good, just good common sense in our dealings with people from every walk of life. You know, you can't say that you love this group and then you segment an entire group of people because they are not like you. You hear me, exactly. Preachers, teachers, elders, bishops, whoever. You've got to understand the love of God transcends all boundaries. So, Susie, you grew up and you were bullied. You think about today when people are bullied, even on cyberbullying. We've done those shows here on America Out Loud, too. I mean, and we'll continue to do them because it's still a problem.
Mm-hmm. Even bigger problem online. Oh, I feel really bad for this generation of kids growing up. I just cannot imagine what it must be like.
And then they can private message you and just do all these kinds of things. So you grew up in an environment and you went through all of this. Now, you mentioned owning your truth. Did you always know that you were bisexual?
I would say that it really came to me when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. There was always a certain just attraction to both sexes, and I didn't understand it at the time, to be honest with you. I had always dated, at the time, I dated men, or boys, I should say. And I...
Yeah, we definitely want to know they weren't men back then.
Boys. Mm-hmm. And so, but there was always that curiosity, and... yeah. And then as I grew a little older and a little bit more mature, I understood it better. And the, it takes a little time to evolve and to understand yourself and to understand what you're feeling and to not feel the shame. I mean, I grew up, okay, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, let's say that, as an adolescent and then a young adult. And, you know, back then it was not as accepted as it wasn't acceptable. And I was taught from family I'm not placing blame. It was just the times. Mm-hmm. I was brought up to kind of make, I felt guilty for what I was feeling.
Sure.
Okay. I never ever talked to anybody about it, even to my close friends, but inside I felt this shame and this guilt for the feelings I was feeling. And yeah. And so it wasn't until a really close friend of mine came out to me. That's when my world opened up. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, wow, if it's okay, you know, if it's okay with her, it's okay, you know, then I just felt like I was reborn again.
Yeah.
And embraced. Mm-hmm. And allowed to be who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, when, you know, my husband brought him into the circle of all of this, he's a wonderfully open person. And he understands that, you know, there's a understanding of what bisexuality really means, and it's rampant throughout all communities, all orientations, that a lot of times people think if you're bisexual, you can't be monogamous, because how can you be? You're attracted to both, and whoever you're with is going to fear you're going to want somebody else. And this is what I say to them: I am in love with the person, not the gender. And love my husband wholeheartedly. And he understands that, and he gets that. And just as I would never go and cheat on him with a man, I'm not going to do that with a woman. It's the same principle. It's the principles that underlie your actions that make you who you are and who create your character. And that character can be what you want it to be. And for me, that's being a loving wife, supportive, and loyal. And together we can explore my sexuality in ways that are personal for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear that. Very well said. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Transparent here on the Energy Bar. I wouldn't expect anything less from you. And we want to continue this conversation because I know people are sitting on the edge of their seats and listening and wondering, how are we going to navigate these waters? Because there are so many of our listeners who, you know, are maybe they're in the box, or maybe they don't know, or maybe they just have not been educated, Susie. I think a lot of it is lack of education, and people are ignorant of the ways of love. And I had a guest recently, and I'm going to come back in this conversation here in just a moment, but who actually said to us that love loves who it loves. And I absolutely love that statement.
Yes.
Love loves who it loves. And I think all of us need to hold on to that and hold on to your seats and your listening ears, because we are going to continue this conversation here in just a moment with my guest today, right here on Energy Bar, none other than Susie Carr. I'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Today on Energy Bar, we have Susie Carr, who is, a terrific, terrific author. And she's here with us today, and not only an author, I mean, you know, the girl drinks green smoothies, really. I have to have my green mixed with red and something else. But let me tell you, she is a great, great teacher for us today on how to live beyond the box and how to embrace people and love people from where, right where they are, and not always looking to try to get people to change into us. Whew. Man, there's just such a movement out there to make everybody like everybody else, whatever group it is, then make me like you. And then therefore I will love you as long as you're like me, but don't you dare be anything different. Then I don't know if I love you anymore. I don't know if I like you anymore. I don't know if I want to be there with you. So Susie is here, and she's teaching us today about the curves of life and how to manage in these curves. And Susie, I really want you to talk to us more about that. You tell us that on your blog that writing helps you to sort out the life's twists and turns in life. And God knows we each have so many of them, and that we have lessons on the road of life, and each curve that we come across, it stares us in the face and wanted us to take notice. It's like signs on the road. You got to pay attention to the signs. You need to know when the curve is coming up. And when I travel out to where my dad lives, he has a number of those 180s, you know? And my gosh, if you don't know when they're coming up, you could end up in someone's yard, in the living room.
Oh my goodness.
Because there's so many curves along the road. And when you're teaching people this, Susie, I want you to give us some of the work that you, give us some points in the work that you're doing and how you move, because you write a number of books, and one of them is The Curvy Side of Life.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about that, would you?
Absolutely. So with all of my books, I love to throw the elements of curves in them because I feel like that is realistic. And if I'm going to ask somebody to invest time in reading a book, I want them to walk away with some of the insights that life has taught me and others have taught me, and that I share in these books through the characters, because I feel like my characters sometimes can be role models for people. For instance, there is a book that I did write, The Dance, and it is a novel that is about love and loss and forgiveness, which is really hard for people to do. Forgiveness is so difficult. But one of the things, it also goes into grief. And, you know, I learned a big lesson when writing The Dance. I was going through a very traumatic time in my life because I had just lost my beautiful, beloved dog, my boxer, Sunshine. He was everything to me. He was the child that I could never carry. He was my life, and he had cancer and died when he was 9 years old, and it broke my heart. And I was right in the middle of researching this book, The Dance, which has to do with honeybees. And I was, you know, literally going to an apiary and hanging out with tens of thousands of honeybees to learn about them. And the story, I had a hard time writing the story until I actually came into contact with those honeybees. And I remember one specific moment when writing the book. I think I did suffer a depression for at least 6 months. I mean, I couldn't get through a day without crying. It was terrible. It was such a sense of loss. And I was trying to figure out this one particular character and how she was going to resolve the fact that her mother died. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned from my Sunshine, and I really believe that he was there with me whispering in my ear the lesson that this character and that I needed to learn, was that just because he died does not mean I should die too. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people die along with those they love.
Yeah.
And that to me is no way to honor someone's life and legacy. And it hit me that day like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. It hit me. I said, my God, he had a beautiful life. Mm-hmm. Now I'm suffering and dying along with him. And if he could talk to me, if he could come back to this world and talk to me, mm-hmm. he would be so mad at me right now. Mm-hmm. He would be so mad that I am wasting my life crying over his life, mm-hmm. over his death. And that became the central theme to this story, The Dance, is that you have to be able to move on by honoring the life of someone that you lost and loved, by celebrating life. Mm. And there's a time, there's a whole cycle of grief. I honor that. But there does come a point when you have to be able to move forward, because that's what your loved one would want you to do. And I think that's a big life curve that many of us, well, we all face. We all are going to face it, and we all face it with people we love. That is life. And that is, grief happens. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Susie, let me tell you this. You're going to get chills when I tell you this. You mentioned your boxer was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Today, as we are doing this broadcast, today is 9 years since my sister Sharon passed. Oh. Mm. Now, isn't that something?
Oh my goodness.
And I was thinking as you were talking, my God, this was so timely, spiritually. Mm. And I have been working with family this morning because my brother-in-law, her husband, is in such heavy grief today. Mm. And we were talking about it, 9 years. Where did the 9 years go? They're gone 9 years ago. Mm. And my sister and also my best friend passed away 9 years ago.
Oh,
but, you know, I honor that and I respect that. And I can tell people, wow, I just had to take a pause on that.
Wow, I'm actually really tearing up right now. It's amazing how God works.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we think we're in control, but we are not.
We are not.
You can meditate till the cows come home. And at the end of the day, if God doesn't bring the cows home, they are not coming. It is all, when we just wake up with intention to allow ourselves to just be in the moment and just flow and just do what we do, he brings someone along like Susie Carr today, and she's talking about her boxer who was 9 years old that passed away. And I've been thinking about my sister who passed away 9 years ago. And so the number 9 becomes significant today, you know, and the grief process. She mentioned, I mean, it was her speaking into my life. You know, you honor them mm-hmm. by celebrating their life, celebrate their legacy, and begin to do what they want you to do. And so thank you for that, Susie. Thank you for that. And this is a real, ladies and gentlemen, this is real talk with real people. We're not celebrities trying to be celebrities or anything like that. We're just here telling our stories and letting you know that it's okay to cry. It's okay to be you. It's okay to go through the grieving process, whether it's for your boxer or whether it's for a member of your family, your parent or your siblings or whatever it is for you, whoever it is for you. It's okay for you to grieve, but just remember, it's okay for you to live too.
Absolutely.
And don't die with them. Don't let your life end in that moment. Because also, Susie, death has a way of giving us new beginnings.
Yes.
We establish new norms. We establish new processes in our lives because that person or that pet is no longer there. So now you begin to change some things, modify some things. You now have a new norm, and that norm can be just as beautiful.
It can. And I think that, Dr. Faye, that a lot of people, they feel guilty for that. Mm-hmm. They feel guilty for moving on. I mean, I can honestly say I used to go and meet new people and think, my gosh, like this person never knew me when I had sunshine in my life. And it was always like a disconnect and a feeling of guilt. And, you know, we'd have new friends over the house and they didn't get to see his big bubbly personality. And, mm-hmm. and it used to hurt me. Mm-hmm. And it used to make me feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And until that day when I had that just beautiful moment where I really felt him whisper that into my ear. Uh-huh. And saying, you've got to move on.
Yeah.
Like, move on, Mom. I'm still here, but move on. I'm waiting for you when you're ready and just live your life and go. Don't die because I died. And that was a life-changing moment. And I literally stopped crying. I haven't bawled since that day.
Yeah.
You know, this is almost 3 years ago now. This happened, you know, in 2000 and gosh, he died in 2015. Mm. So it's going to be 3 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge. I want us to get back to, I want to talk a little bit about I barred my chest. I don't want to band it. And sandcastles here in a moment. But since we're talking on the subject of healing, and I want to talk, get your take on self-healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am a big proponent of self-healing. I believe in it. And I believe, I have faith in that. I do believe that we are connected to God, if you want to call him or her your higher power, that's fine. I believe that we are connected to the source, and that source, if we're willing to tap into that source, there's so much power in that. We are amazing people. People are amazing. Think mm-hmm. about the miracle, just being alive, the fact that we are, we're alive and we have bodies that they are designed to thrive. They're not designed to be diseased. They're designed to thrive. And we have this one vehicle. And if we take care of it and nurture it, then, you know, we could have a quality life full of just health and not disease. And so I've had situations where I've healed without medical intervention.
Tell me about that. Give me one or two instances where you applied self-healing or supernatural healing came in. Talk to me about that.
One was when I was a teenager. I had what was known as scoliosis, which is curvature of the spine. And I was a teenager and I would go to this scoliosis clinic with my mom once a month. And they fitted me with this machine. It was called a TENS machine. And it was supposed to prevent my back from getting any worse by keeping my muscles awake at night, by plugging me into a machine with electrodes attached to my back. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was torture. And it would send electrical impulses to my spine all night long, every 25 seconds. It was torture. And the Shriners program, God bless them, they donated this machine to my family because we couldn't afford it. I mean, it was a lot of money. I think it was $20,000. Mm. And so I owe everything to the Shriners program to this day. But I used that machine. I was supposed to use that machine for, well, 2 years. And it was not supposed to make my back better. It was supposed to prevent it from getting worse. Well, here I am a month into it, and I couldn't handle the treatments. I couldn't sleep. So my parents would plug me in at night and they'd walk out of my room and I would unplug myself because I couldn't deal with it. Mm. And then the back, I would go every month and get the x-rays, and over the progression of the 2 years, nothing would change, which was good. That's what it was intended to do, but I wasn't doing any of the treatments to make that happen. And I just remember one specific day. It was about a year and a half into my so-called treatment, and I was standing in front of the x-ray machine, as I always did on my monthly appointments. And I remember thinking, God, please, please help to make my spine straight. Please, please straighten my spine. I don't want to go through this anymore. And I remember that day, it was like a power overcame me. Mm-hmm. And I just visualized a straight spine, a straight spine. I felt a white light. It was miraculous.
Yeah.
A few minutes later, more like a couple of hours in the clinic. We were in the room going over the results, the latest results, and my back had improved. It wasn't straight, but it had improved. Mm-hmm. And the doctors were astonished because they said, this machine is not supposed to improve it, but your back has improved. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a problem ever since then, Dr. Faye.
Wow.
And I have to be honest with you right now, I'm really nervous saying all this because my parents to this day, I've never told them that. I didn't want them to know that I didn't use a machine that the Shriners program donated to my family.
Well, now you're naked. Now you're naked.
And it's just, it's haunted me a long time. It's haunted me a long time. I felt tremendous guilt that I, as a teenager, I took that action on my own. Mm-hmm. But with God's help, I feel like together, a miracle happened.
Yes.
My back is fine. I'm a crazy athletic person to this day, and I'm 48 years old and I don't stop. I work out 2 hours a day sometimes. So my back is in perfect shape and I give credit to God.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard her. Now, a couple things before we prepare for our wrap up here. One thing that you said, Susie, and I took note of is that, even today you felt this guilt or shame about not telling your parents, but today you have bared your chest.
I have.
And so now you're free of whatever that was trying to hold you back in any other area of your life, because now it is gone. You're no longer in bondage to that. Now it's being aired all over the world.
I'm all about getting naked.
Yeah, freedom, freedom, freedom. There's nothing better than being free. And also, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear her say she prayed to God? Mm-hmm. She prayed to God. Now, if you feel, you that are listening, you feel that there's something in your life, you don't know where else to turn. Maybe you are being bullied. Maybe you feel as though you cannot come out and tell your truth. You cannot bear all to anybody. You don't know which way to turn. You can always pray. I promise you, you can always pray. Don't turn me off because I said prayer. Or God, you'll find it. Somebody else will tell you, and you'll always end up right in this place, right here. Even if it's your last day on earth, you will still end up in this place. You will cry out to God. Pray now. ask him to do whatever it is you want him to do in your life, and he will hear you. Here is Susie, a teenager, not wanting to be hooked up to this horrible machine, but she cried out to God, and God heard her cry. And today she's exercising two hours a day sometime in the gym. God bless her for that. I know that's the Lord. And you know what? You're encouraging me, though. You're encouraging me to get out there and keep going. For some reason, you're inspiring me today, Susie.
Aww.
You're inspiring me to live a bigger life. You're making me bolder, girl.
Well, Boom. You deserve to live Boom. The best life possible, don't you? And from what I can see, you are. So
we're getting it out there, and we're getting it done right here on America Out Loud, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the premier networks. Save it in your browser. Download the app from iTunes. Go over there, rate and review us. Listen to Energy Bar and the other shows that we do right here on America Out Loud. Visit the website at AmericaOutLoud.com. I'll give you more of that information at the end of today's broadcast, but I did want to sow that seed into your mind, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a pause here and get a drink of water, and we'll be back with more of the Energy Bar and Susie Carr.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, Susie Carr, she's here setting us all straight, teaching us how to bare our chest and to be naked, to be transparent, to live an authentic life. And she's shared some information here, right here on the Energy Bar, that she hadn't told her parents yet, but I guess they'll know now, you know, if she can go with them if they're online. But that's okay, because this show is all about empowering people. And you know, we can't give away what we don't possess. The freer we are, the freer you'll be. And if you have a show or an idea for a show, make sure you email me at drfaye@americaoutloud.com. Susie, you talked to us about self-healing and gave a tremendous testimony on how you prayed to God. You had this machine to help with your spine, to straighten your spine, that the Shriners were so gracious and so gracious to give to you. But yet you unplugged yourself from the machine. You went to the doctor, you prayed, cried out to God. And to this day, you've been healed, and you were a teenager at that time. And you are a young 48 now, and you're still going strong. So you practice self-healing. And yeah, self-healing with God's help. Your part of the self was that you opened your mouth and prayed. That was the self-healing. You opened your mouth and prayed. And so I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about, because I know that you're very heavy into health and nutrition after all those green smoothies. So take us on a nutrition and physical exercise regimen. Just how do we recondition our minds and our bodies, and just give us a snapshot of what that could look like for this time that we're living in, with all of the toxins and everything that's going on in the food and whatever. How do we manage to still live a healthy, have healthy nutrition and get some exercise?
Yeah. So, you know, here I'm going to talk a little bit about priorities, and I have three in my life, and family's first, and health is right there with them. And then there's development. So health, that is a priority. And the reason why it's such a priority is because without it, it's really hard to do what I do. And I say that for everybody. It's going to be really hard to live your life if you're not feeling well.
Right.
And so I would live no other way than, you know, than by giving myself the best I can give myself, because I love myself. And everybody should love themselves. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. God created you. You should love yourself because he loves you too. So knowing with that in mind, That's the psychology behind the health and fitness craze that I kind of go through. I am a person who exercises 6 days a week for an hour minimum. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to everybody, especially if you haven't been doing it right out at the gate.
I'm talking about me.
I would recommend taking a beautiful brisk walk and getting your blood pumping. And while you're doing it, being present and understanding that what you're doing is giving your gift, your body the biggest gift you can give it. You're giving your body, you're giving your blood oxygen, you're giving your cells oxygen, you're giving your organs oxygen. That brain of yours, beautiful brain that we are gifted with, you're giving that oxygen and you're opening up new synapses every time you go out there and let your heart pump and do what it's meant to do. And so it's a wonderful time to be alone with yourself, to learn how to breathe properly, because when you breathe, you're present. Mm-hmm. And it's a mind-body connection. So physical exercise, I recommend walking to start off with. It's a beautiful thing to do. The next thing I would say is, you know, really nutrition and exercise really need to be tandem with each other. So feed your body what it needs. Think about it. Nurture your body as if it was a baby. You wouldn't give a baby junk food. You wouldn't give a baby things that are toxic. You'd give that baby everything that you could to make it thrive. And that's how you should treat yourself. And it's easy. It's easier to do than people believe it is. I mean, it's a matter of understanding everything you put into your body should be useful to it, right? Treat yourself, yes. I mean, I have chocolate. I have days, you know, where I have a glass of wine or whatever. You have to be able to have that balance. But 95% of the time, you should be good to yourself and love yourself and nurture yourself and give your body.
Have you had Sam's, what is it? C's chocolate?
Oh, I have.
What do you mean? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So that? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I have. Now, here's the thing. I have to have my chocolate rationed to me because I am a self-proclaimed addict when it comes to chocolate. I cannot have a bowl of chocolate sitting there and make it last. Right. I have to be given 3 pieces a day and there's my treat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to do what works for you. Mm-hmm. If salty food is your temptation, just don't buy it. Or if you do buy it, have your significant other give you a portion of it once a day. So you can have a fun little treat. It's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as 95% of your day, you're feeding yourself, you're nurturing your body, then the other 5% you can have some fun with.
You know? Are you vegetarian?
I used to be, but I am not anymore because I found it really hard to get I have anemia and I had a hard time getting my iron in and protein in as well. I can't eat soy because I have a thyroid condition. So soy is a big part of being a vegetarian and I can't eat that. So I had a hard time with being a vegetarian for that reason. So I eat chicken, but it's all organic,
yeah.
Free range. And so I do try to purchase. It's really expensive though. So, yeah. You know, it is expensive. It's hard to do. It is hard financially to eat healthy because it's by right. It just is more expensive.
Yeah,
it really is. So
it's almost as if there's a conspiracy to keep people who really need it the most away from it, or keep it away from people. I live in a very rural area. Most people that have heard me talk about this know it is a food desert town. Mm-hmm. And before, when I would hear people say that they were vegetarians or they were doing this or that, and I never proclaimed to be a vegetarian. What I did was I just decided I didn't want to eat meat. And I went that way for maybe 2 or 3 years. I just didn't. And then when I incorporated some meats back into my meal plan, it was chicken and fish. And of course, when I talked to my mom and she said, well, what did you have for dinner? And I didn't include meat in my conversation. She said, how did you eat with no meat? For my mom, if there was no meat on the plate, you haven't eaten yet. You haven't cooked. You're not through cooking until you've put some meat on the plate. But I have found I've come to terms with a lot of things. God has a way of placing us into school. And so I've been educated by my environment, my surroundings. It is a farming community. So in the summers, there's a lot of fresh vegetables available. But here's the thing. We talk organic or natural. Well, if it grows out of the ground, well, that's natural. But here's the thing. The same airplanes that are spraying poison over the beans or the wheat or whatever, that stuff is in the air. So it's going all over your gardens, et cetera. So it's not always, it's not protected. There's no way for it to be protected. And folks, you just have to get over the train passing right now because there's no way I'm going to stop this conversation. The airplanes and the trains, the airplanes that are spraying the toxins, the trains don't spray toxins. They just cause toxic noise. And they do have some fumes. They do release fumes though. And so you're still getting, even out of the ground, you're getting foods that are not necessarily healthy. And so you have to learn how to clean them differently, et cetera. But to think about going to a Whole Foods store or a place where it has organic foods, forget about it. It's not going to happen. And this is my thought. If it's not available for everybody, God is not cruel. He's not saying, well, you're going to die eating that because you can't afford any good food. You can't afford organic, so I'm just going to let you die because you can't afford it. That is just not going to happen.
No.
My thought is this, and I want you to come back in because the train did cause me to ramble a bit. But but when you have whatever you have, and you, I believe this, just eat it with a consciousness of pure, you know, you just got to come from a place that this is good food for me. I'm eating it with thanksgiving. I'm praying over this food. I'm praying over my water, and it's okay. I don't want people to be in bondage because they can't afford something. So anyway, you brought all of that out of me. Go ahead.
I completely agree with you. I think there is a lot to be said for how we view everything in our life. Mm-hmm. If we are viewing it from a disease point of view, like, oh my goodness, Armageddon is here and it's going to get me, then it's going to get you. Mm-hmm. If you pray over it, purify it with your thoughts and your mind and believe that when what you put into your body is fueling your body with good things, then it will. Mm-hmm. Right? It will.
Yeah.
That's my theory on that. Because you can't, there's no way we can control, again, we can't control outside forces. We can only control the thoughts that we put into things and the energy. And boy, is energy powerful. Energy can change things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would say to anybody who feels overwhelmed with the cost of organic, non-GMO, all this other stuff, mercury in the fish.
Yeah.
We can't control it. This is the world we live in. What you can control is your thoughts when you are putting it into the body.
Yes.
That's it. It's a big part of it, the mind-body connection.
That is huge because there's a scripture you just reminded me of. It says, everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Just pray over it. Just pray over it. And when Jesus fed the 5,000, he lifted up the bread and fish and gave thanks to God, and it multiplied. So ladies and gentlemen, don't get so heavy or weighed down because you can't afford organic or you can't afford this or that. Just listen to what Susie has just said. It is powerful. And allow your thoughts to be pure toward that food, and then know that's what's going into your body is good for you. Just see it that way, and it will be that way. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That applies to food also.
Absolutely.
Susie, you are boom. You are awesome. I am so glad you are here today. We've got a couple more things we want to do while I have you here with me today. And one is, I want you to tell people how to get in touch with you, and then I want you to lead us in a meditation.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, the best place to get in touch with me is right at my hub, which is my website, curveswelcome.com. From there, there are links to my podcasts. I have two of them, The Curvy Life, and I also have Curves Welcome. Curves Welcome is personal empowerment, me just being a monologue, talking through lessons I've learned along the way. And then the Curvy Life is very similar to this, where I have guests on that have gone through life's curves and triumphed over them. So, you know, there are links to my social media accounts, and I would love for you to go there and click on Facebook or Twitter and whatever your social media platform is that you like to use and connect with me. So, yeah, that's the best place to find me.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Susie, I want you to take the next minute or so and lead us into a meditation. And guys, if you're driving, don't try this. If you're sitting at your desk in a comfortable place, do. And then come back and listen to us later on in podcast if you're missing the live show.
Okay. Well, I always like to start my meditation by taking some deep breaths. So let's take 5 really deep breaths and bring them right into your core. And exhale. Breathe in. And exhale all the pressure. Breathe in the good. Let go of the bad. 2 more. Really deep. Let it go. 1 more. Really good, soulful breath. And release it. Next, I want you to think of one thing that you're extremely grateful for in your life right now. Hold that thought. Hold that thought in your heart. What is it that you're so grateful for? Thank God for it. Really thank Him. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to send somebody love. Bring all your thoughts to that one person who really, really needs it right now. And give them all of your love and energy. And finally, ask God to guide you today. Guide your steps so that you're living a life full of purpose and you're serving others through your actions. Thank you.
Beautiful. Wow, Susie Carr. You're awesome. Thank you so much for being with me today. It has been a blessing, I assure you.
It's been so wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Faye.
Don't be a stranger. I look forward to having conversations with you in the future and following up with you right here on the Energy Bar. I'm Dr. Faye, and I want you to remember, keep your energy high. Keep your focus on the prize. And you too can be a living legacy for all to see. God bless you. Until next time, be well.